Episode 21. Have you ever felt like telling somebody who's trying to help you, be quiet already? You're saying too much? Well, that is a pretty common feeling because the truth is when people are in a conflict situation, we have a tendency to go on and on and on and on. So this episode, we're going to learn how to say a lot by saying a little. Chaos happens. Here we choose to lead chaos rather than be led by chaos. We're sharing tips, resources, networks, and interviews that help you validate your ability to lead chaos and remain steady on. Are you ready to lead chaos? Let's do it. This is the Leading Chaos Podcast, and I am your host, Rhea Windcaller. Welcome to the show. Hello, good morning, good evening. So glad you could join in. And I really want to thank each and every one of you who have showed a bit of love and support to this podcast. Please subscribe via iTunes. That way you could get the podcast directly to your phone each week and you won't miss an episode. And if you could, drop me a line. Let me know what you think. Send it to Rhea@leadingchaospodcast.com. I'd really love to hear from you. And maybe perhaps talk about a conflict you're having. Why not? That's my specialty. Okay, so we are in episode 21 of this ongoing series, Leading Chaos Story, and I am reading out of my book, and I am on page 90. On the top of the page, you will see 10 tips for redirecting conflict. And we're just going to discuss the first tip today, which is how to say a lot by saying a little. And I think this is best done by bringing you into a little bit of a scenario. So I want you to imagine this particular scene. We have Mrs. Lewis. We're going to put her in a high school. And she is on her way to her office. It's the morning. And she's picked up her mail from the main office. She has that in one arm. And in the other arm, she has a cup of coffee. And she's kind of like reading stuff and walking along and not thinking too much about it. She gets to her door. And who is standing there but Matt? Matt Simon has been waiting for Mrs. Lewis. And Matt is livid. He is upset. And he says to Mrs. Lewis, "What is it about this D here? I thought I was going to graduate this year, and this D is going to hold me back. Every one of you keep on trying to hold me back, and you're not doing anything for me." Mrs. Lewis says in reply, ... Okay, so that's the scene. You got an angry person yelling at another person who kind of unexpected kind of situation. And what do you say? How do you manage that situation? And the key here is to say a lot by saying a little. Now, I've set up the scene, I don't know how many times through the course of my career. And what we typically get in reply from our participants in response is that folks will say something like, "Well, Mrs. Lewis could say, Matt, what happened? What's going on there?" Or, "Matt, you deserve that D." Oh, boy. You could see how that would, actually both would inflame Matt. The "Matt, what's going on there" will get Matt directly involved and engaged with what's upsetting him and get him right back in the content. If you say you deserve it, well, you're kind of picking a fight there and setting Matt up for, you know, going right at you. Or some people say, "You better lower your voice, young man." Well, that's pretty direct. But that, again, is setting Mrs. Lewis up to be a direct target and also becoming the enforcer. So she could take off her enforcer badge. So let's say she says, "I understand that getting a low mark can be pretty disappointing." Well, that sounds pretty clinical, right? So what we do is we have everybody kind of mull over these different things and shoot off and brainstorm different things to say to this guy, this young man who is standing there and really ticked off. And we try to help folks hone it down to the essential. Because Matt expects, and probably all of us expect if we were in Matt's shoes, to be confronted. And this is not a time to do that. What we want to do is open doors. And so what we like to teach, or what I like to teach in this scene, is instead of really confronting Matt, we say something like, "It's good to see you, Matt," or "Thank you for coming to see me." Again, "Thank you for coming to see me." Kind of stops you in your tracks, doesn't it? Because that is the least likely thing somebody who is really disgruntled expects to hear. Now, you might not have anything to do with schools, but you might be that person in line at the Department of Motor Vehicles, waiting and waiting and waiting, finally get up to that person who you think is going to help you register your car, and the next thing you hear is, "But you didn't bring this paper." If they had said to you, "Thank you for coming to see me," wouldn't that have opened up your thought channels, your reasoning, your willingness to hear more? That is a statement that says a lot by saying a little. "Thank you for coming to see me." Or "Thanks for seeing me." Or "Thanks for speaking up." Or even more simply, "Good morning, Matt." It's civility. It all goes back to civility and addresses the person. That is really what saying a lot is. It's about speaking to the humanity in all of us and showing that you are willing to listen. Because what do we really want to say? We want to say, one, that we want to listen. Two, you are so important. And three, we have the intention to help you. Those are just three really simple things. And we could do that with our words in each and every intervention. So to say a lot by saying a little is to keep it very short and sweet. When somebody comes up to you and they are disgruntled, if you meet them in a professional manner and speak to them directly, because, you know, truthfully, for Mrs. Lewis, it was the right thing for her to say something like, "I'm glad you came to see me," because if Matt was that ticked off, his other choices could have been like unbelievable. He could have gone and torn down the walls in the hallway. He could have gone and, you know, beat up somebody or left school or, you know, gone different ways to like spend his energy, maybe in not the most healthy ways. But by really acknowledging him, she's not only acknowledging him, but doing the work of a professional, which is identifying exactly what we want people to do when they are in trouble. Come to see us and ask for help. Matt, well, I want you to ask this for yourself. Was Matt doing the right thing? And yes, yes, he was. And so she was able to acknowledge that. So I'm hoping that this is clear because it's such a critical point. Whenever I do an intervention, I want to think, what is that person doing right now? And what can I kind of continue to build upon that is working? And I always take it from the standpoint that even if that person is really, really angry, at least they are talking. At least they are coming to me. And that gives me so much to work with versus the person who sulks or leaves, slams the door and walks out of the house and gets in the car and starts driving really fast and picks up a bottle of whiskey on the way and starts drinking. That's all really dangerous. If that person seeks help with another human being, that's a great thing. I can say, "Thanks for coming to see me," because I believe that that's authentic. I'm able to say that from my authentic self. And I bet you can too. And it really, really opens the doors. You know, we have another scenario. So we have the scenario in the book on page 90 with Mrs. Lewis and Matt, and I wrote it all out there with the different options that can be said. And then we have another scenario called Mr. Woodruff's Role Play. And here, this is another classic example where we have the opportunity to really turn a situation around with just a few words. And this, I'm sure, has happened to all of us. It's a situation in a doctor's office, and I've done a lot of work with medical professionals over the years, and I work with secretaries or, you know, tech aides, different folks who are at the front desk serving the public. And the professionals that they're coming to see might be late, or they might have been detained by an emergency or something like that. And these secretaries have to then convey to the public that Dr. So-and-so can't see them now, even though those folks might have traveled very long, for a long time, taken the day off for work, and it's going to be yet another hour that they're going to have to wait to see the doctor. So how do we manage that situation and make people feel seen and heard and show them that their voice and their presence is important? Again, we want to say a lot by saying a little. So in this little role play with Mr. Woodruff, I'm going to read it to you and give you a sense. Mr. Woodruff was tapping his foot on the floor and looking at his watch for the umpteenth time in Dr. Harvey's waiting room. Dr. Harvey's secretary, Joan Sutherland, and Marcia Pickett had barely noticed Mr. Woodruff's irritation. However, they were fully aware that the doctor's schedule was off by about an hour. Mr. Woodruff got up from his seat and stomped over to Joan Sutherland's desk behind a glass window in the reception area. Joan looked up. "I want to see the doctor now," Mr. Woodruff said. "I have been waiting for over an hour. My wife is at home waiting for me, and she needs my help to get her around. I can't wait any longer." "Well, would you like to reschedule?" Joan began. "That's not what I want, and you know it," replied Mr. Woodruff. Marcia Pickett, Joan's co-worker, overheard the conversation and added her 2 cents. "This is a doctor's office now." "You pipe down. We will call you in when it's your turn. Now either take a seat or please leave the waiting room." "How dare you!" screamed Mr. Woodruff. Oh, yvay. That is like, that's a scene that's gone really wrong. And it's a crying shame, because here's a gentleman who really needs help. And here's 2 women who are working really hard. We have to find a common ground. And you might think like, oh, that never happens in my office, but I didn't make this stuff up. This is a scene that I've had replayed many times to me by other medical profession people, secretaries and whatnot. I'm sorry. Again, I told you I'm punchy. So let's take 2, and I'm going to read through what might have been able to be said instead of what was originally said. So we take 2 with, "I want to see the doctor now," Mr. Woodruff said. "I have been waiting for over an hour. My wife is at home waiting for me, and she needs my help to get around. I can't wait any longer." "Well, would you like to reschedule?" Joan said. "I need a doctor now," screamed Mr. Woodruff. Marcia Pickett, whose desk was next to Joan Sutherland, said, "Mr. Woodruff." Upon hearing his name, Mr. Woodruff turned his head in her direction and nodded. "Let me help you over here." "I want to see the doctor now," Mr. Woodruff said firmly. She continued with, "You have been very inconvenienced, and I am so sorry. The doctor had an emergency this morning, and it has set our office back. You see that woman over there? She is going in right now, and then it will be your turn. Would it help if you called your wife to check in on her?" "Yeah, that would be good," he replied. "Come over to my desk, and you could use this line." Oh. What a relief. The first scenario, the 2 women were kind of like badgering the poor guy. And really, we all want the same thing. We want to have ease in our life, and we want to be seen. So when we say a lot, what we're really doing is identifying for that person that they are important. We say that with terms like, it's good to see you. Thank you for coming to see me. I really appreciate your time. Your time is important. Or just calling the person by their name respectfully, Mr. Woodruff. So, really easy steps to do, and I hope that you get to practice this because it could make such a huge difference to take just small, simple steps to turn an episode around and make it easier for everyone. And that is how we wrap it up and send it off. Clear, concise, and keeping it simple. Okay, well, that is a wrap on that topic. And before we go, I just want to give you a quick little update with Rosie May Erdale. If you've been following along with me on the Great British Bed Push, she is pushing a bed from Scotland to the south end of the United Kingdom. And she is still up in Scotland on her eighth or ninth day, and her bed had to get repaired in Edinburgh. And there have been some folks contacting me. We hope that they do catch up with Rosie May and host her in a town. It's in like a national park region of Scotland, and it's called Avonmore. I'm probably not saying that right at all, but I'm going to put it in the show notes and you can follow along. If you want to get a hold of Rosie, just tweet her at Full Reach is her Twitter account. And you can follow along with me at Leading Chaos or at Rio Windcaller. I'm all over the map there and welcome any kind of hello that you want to send my way. Meanwhile, that's it for now. Next week, we'll be talking about number 2 on the 10 tips for redirecting anger and bringing it back to a little form of sanity. And that will be on silence. That's going to be fun. I'm sure it's going to be a very noisy podcast. And meanwhile, this is a real Windcaller signing off for now. As always, you be kind, you be safe, and say a lot by saying a little. I'm really glad you took the time to listen. Thank you. Ciao for now.